Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules, your host from beautiful, clean, and refreshing Southern California. Hey, happy Thanksgiving week! I'm so glad you could join us because we have an absolutely wonderful guest that you all know and have followed since seeing The Secret. Dr. Joe Vitale is here with us, and I'm really, really excited about talking to him about his book, The Attractor Factor, among other things. But first, let me just bring you up to date on the upcoming attractions. Next week, we have Hay House author and internationally renowned intuitive Colette Baron-Reed, and she's going to be with us with a very, very special message that she wants to convey to us about the future. So tune in. She's also going to be taking some calls, so that's your chance to ask some personal questions. And don't forget that Todd Silva, one of our favorites, the creator of Giveaway a Dollar a Day, will be coming back in December, as well as Lee Harris, who's going to be talking about his new full-length feature movie and Zafariah's predictions for 2009. Also coming in December is the kickoff of the new Law of Attraction Talk Radio Network, in which we have a different Law of Attraction show with different hosts every day of the week. You're going to love the variety of shows and will want to download each one to your iPod and take it everywhere with you. I'll be bringing you more information next week, so stay tuned for that. But now, here we go. Let me introduce Dr. Joe Vitale, who really doesn't need an introduction, but he is the spiritual marketing guru who became well-known through his appearance in The Secret with his exclusive five-step attraction system. Joe has successfully coached thousands of people through his seminars, books, DVDs, webinars, TV, radio appearances on the Law of Attraction, living the life of his wildest dreams. His life mission is to help others to do the same. I feel like a drum roll here. So everyone, here he is, the one, the only Joe Vitale. Welcome, Joe, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. What a beautiful introduction. I was getting all excited, wondering who you were going to have on. It turns out it's me.
Of course, it's you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a delight to be here. Looking forward to this.
Oh, good. Well, all the listeners are looking forward to this. Hey, you know, I was thinking today that it's been over 2.5 years since the movie The Secret came out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, you were already successful before The Secret, but this movie really brought you to the forefront of the how-to in the Law of Attraction. What's the ride been like for you since the movie?
Exhilarating. It's been a warp speed rocket ship blast through space. Because of that movie, of course, a whole different audience got to be aware of me. I was fairly well known on the internet and had best-selling books out and was known as a marketer and copywriter and such. But that let people know about my spiritual side, my self-help side. And, of course, I got into the movie because of my book, The Attractor Factor. So that book became a long-running bestseller, just got revised and came out as a second edition recently. And, of course, being in that movie has put me in about 9 other movies that are either out or will be coming out over the next year. And, of course, it put me on Larry King twice and on Donnie Deutsch's show. And Oprah did a segment, and she ran a clip of me. So, in essence, I've been on Oprah, too. So it's just taken me to a whole new level of unexpected, joyful success and visibility that I never predicted or asked for. but I certainly welcome it, and I'm certainly grateful for it. It's been a wild, exhilarating ride.
Now, you never asked for it, but you did attract it. Is that correct?
It is, but I got to tell you the truth. I did ask for it, and I had forgotten that I did. Friends of mine pointed it out. I'm a great believer in mastermind groups, and I wrote a book with Bill Hibbler called Meet and Grow Rich, where I talk about how to create your own mastermind. Well, I was in a mastermind with Bill and Pat O'Brien and Craig Perrine and a few other people, and one day I walked in, and I said, with no logical reason for me to state this, that I wanted to be in a movie. And I said that I wanted to be in a movie, and I didn't want any cameo appearance where I just kind of walked in and walked out. I wanted something where I was noted, and I wanted it to be something I'd be proud of. And when I stated it as a casual intention with no emotion on it and no real expectation of how it would work out and not knowing how it would work out, I just let it go. I just did it spontaneously and let it go. And they reminded me that it was a few months after that that I got that wonderful and bizarre phone call from this wonderful woman in Australia saying she wanted to make a movie about the law of attraction. She read my book, The Attractor Factor, and would I be in it if she pulled all the money together and everything else? And, of course, I said yes. And that's my philosophy in life. Say yes when the opportunities come. I said yes, and son of a gun, my intention, which I had forgotten about, got attracted into my life, and I ended up in The Secret, which, of course, has led to this domino effect that is not stopping anytime soon.
Yes, it's wonderful. And The Secret, the way it was marketed was so incredible, so incredible. I mean,
yeah.
It was such a silent, talk about internet marketing. Wow, that was beautiful.
It will go down in history as one of the greatest case studies of viral marketing we will ever see. I was the very first person to email my list when Rhonda said the DVD and the preview and the sign-up list was all available. So I started, and then all those other teachers, there's 24 teachers in the movie The Secret, many of which have email lists and followings, all told their list. And then, of course, because the preview for The Secret was so mesmerizing and so exciting, everybody told everybody else. And that viral aspect of that marketing kicked in. And this is something that traditional Hollywood and even independent movie makers, for the most part, never knew how to do. But Rhonda leveraged the internet in a way that hadn't been done before at that point. And so I stand here as a marketing person saying that case study of how that viral marketing worked will be studied and talked about for a long time and modeled, because it can work again if you just duplicate the essence of what she did.
And I think you also have to have a pretty spectacular movie like The Secret, though.
Well, you always have to have a good product, because in marketing, the rule of thumb is you can do things to get people's attention for your product. But if your product is something they really don't like and they don't want, it'll just die.
Yeah.
You will have gotten their attention, but they will say, well, I don't want that. And they won't tell anybody, and it'll just go puff, and it's gone.
Yeah, interesting. You know, one of the best things out of that movie came the complete understanding for many people, perhaps for the first time, that we are responsible for everything that happens to us. We create everything in our lives, the good and the bad. Now, that shook psychology to the core, didn't it?
It shook a lot of people to the core.
Yeah, that's right, because we've never heard it so plain. Mm. And remembered how many psychologists were just really angry with that statement.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, the movie pushed a lot of buttons, and still does. You said it was a complete message about responsibility, and I don't know that it was a complete message. I think the movie was an introduction to the idea, and I think it introduced it to people maybe for the first time. And that has been a sore spot for many people. There's a lot of critics who still condemn the movie for being incomplete and for starting something and not finishing it. I defend the movie because I say it's simply a documentary. It was something designed to introduce, and that's it, introduce the law of attraction, personal responsibility, the fact that you do create your own reality, or at least co-create your own reality. But it never pretended to be the be-all and end-all.
Right.
It was simply opening the door and saying, here's the secret. but that's not all there is. There's more to it. And that's why I've even written some books like The Key, and I've recorded The Missing Secret to help people understand the deeper aspects of personal responsibility and the law of attraction. But I defend the movie. It doesn't matter if I was in it or not. I'd still say it's one of the greatest gifts ever been given to our planet because it's helped awaken so many people. And even those who are resisting it, sooner or later they'll come around to realize that their own resistance is something they've attracted and it's something they personally created. So they'll begin to feel that they are creating their own reality because of everything they're experiencing. They'll have to look and say, it isn't anybody else making that happen. It's that individual making it happen. So ultimately, they'll awaken, but this is just, they're being stirred.
Yeah, but it stirred so many people. I mean, really, people really didn't understand that we were responsible. I don't think society has been helping us with the victim mentality. And so it moved us away from that. And I thought, wow, if it does anything, it just introduced that concept. But, you know, like you said, it's controversial. And many say that The Secret concentrated too much on the material aspect instead of the spiritual. What's your response to that?
Well, I tell them to go watch the movie again because towards the end of the movie, she talks about, or there's aspects of changing the planet and changing the political system. And so it's not a big focus, admittedly, but this is a movie to help people regain their power. And if you just think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, when you're starving and you're in survival and you start to learn how to attract things into your life, the first thing you want to do is take care of yourself. You want to feed yourself. You want to house yourself. You want to get out of your pain and misery. I was homeless in Dallas 30-some years ago. I was in poverty in Houston for a very long time. And so when I started to learn about creating my own reality and personal responsibility and the law of attraction, the first person I wanted to take care of was me. And there is nothing wrong with that because that is the process of evolving personally. I've noted and noticed that after you take care of yourself and you get comfortable and you're paying your bills and money's coming in and you feel happier and healthier and you got a relationship and this, that, and the other, you start looking around to see how you can help others. For example, I just started Operation Yes. And Operation Yes is my movement to end homelessness and stop foreclosures in this country. Now, when I was homeless and in poverty or just starting to get published, I didn't have those kind of thoughts, because I was still taking care of my own survival. But as I've taken care of myself and I get all of my toys, my cars, guitars, and, you know, we just bought a multi-million-dollar mansion. I mean, I'm doing all these things for myself. As I do it, I start to look around and go, okay, how can I help others? How can I help the planet? And you use the very same things. You still use the law of attraction. You still state intentions. You're still creating your reality, only now you're expanding your vision. Now you're not starving. Now you're thriving, and then you start to go up the hierarchy of needs that Maslow talked about, and you even transcend it to get to a point where you really just want to make a difference in everybody's life, not just yours. And so, again, the movie The Secret spoke to the people who were ready to hear it, who had been struggling. And my view is, once they learn the law of attraction and they're no longer struggling and they take care of themselves, they will branch out and go, I wonder how I can help my community. I wonder how I can help the state. I wonder how I can help the country or the planet, or any number of things will show up. But they'll use the principles they learned, the law of attraction, co-creation, personal responsibility, and they'll apply them in a bigger way.
So eventually, if you're creating what you need, eventually you are going to discover that spirituality, which fulfills that hole in you.
Well, I actually believe life is a process of awakening. Mm-hmm. And I came out with an audio program called The Awakening Course. And I talk about the four stages of awakening. And virtually everybody is born into the first stage, which is victimhood. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, almost everybody stays in it all the way to their death, and they don't know that they have any power. They give all their power away. They blame everybody for anything that goes on in their lives. They have moments of happiness throughout their life, but it doesn't last, and they just lead, as Thoreau said, this life of quiet desperation. But at some point, something comes along these days, like the movie The Secret, or maybe my book, The Attractor Factor, or maybe any of the materials from any of the other teachers, Bob Proctor, John Assaroff, Jack Canfield, James Ray, there's a whole long line of people doing good work. And at some point you may stumble across that work and realize, I don't have to be a victim anymore. I now have power. And then you start to play with that power to do different things in your life. But I think that, well, I don't even think it. I know life is a process of awakening, and what we're ultimately awakening to is the spiritual essence that's behind everything. What we see as people and cars and houses and toys and clothing and all of that, those are just the concrete forms of the essence, and the essence is spirit. This whole planet is nothing but spirituality, but we've fallen for the illusion. We've fallen for the imagery, and what we need to do is awaken to see that what's behind all of it is spirit.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, I love that. Well, let's go back to the beginning, if you don't mind.
Okay.
How did you discover the law of attraction?
That's
I know you were homeless, but how did you discover it?
Well, I discovered it from old books. The law of attraction is not new, and you probably know that, and your listeners probably know that. But I discovered it from books that were published in the 1890s and in the early 1900s. Even though I was homeless and I was in poverty, I could always go to the library, and I've always been a bookaholic. I was always reading books, and when I had money, I would spend it on books. I was always just feeding my mind and my soul with books. Books have always been my best friends. And I discovered there was a whole movement called the New Thought Movement that began around 1892 or so, and there were a lot of people who started talking about the law of attraction, and they actually used that phrase. And there was one book in particular called Thought Vibration. It's available on the internet. There's a published version of it in my audio program called The Missing Secret that Nightingale Conant sells. So it's alive and well these days. But I discovered it early on, and I remember reading it and just being, I don't know, excited and inspired to read this very easy to understand principle that what I'm thinking is causing me to get the experiences I'm attracting. And I remember having to wrestle with that, because just like anybody else who's seen the movie The Secret or read some of these books that are out there, the first time you come up against it, you don't want to buy the whole concept, because it's really saying you're responsible for everything going on in your life. And there's some things in there we would prefer to blame others for.
Mm-hmm.
Always that you want to blame others. It's just so much easier to say, nope, that one wasn't my fault. That was the governor's fault. That's the president's fault. That's the terrorist's fault. That's my neighbor's fault. That's my boss's fault. That's my parents' fault. That's, somebody else's fault. And you wrestle with it for a bit until you realize that full power becomes available to you when you take 100% responsibility for your life. So I started to learn about that from those early New Thought books. And I was learning on my own. I didn't have their coaches, wasn't a term I knew about at that time, and I don't know that it was as big as it is today. But at that point, coaches were just little league coaches and football coaches. We didn't have law of attraction coaches. Early on, I discovered Abraham, Jerry and Esther Hicks, and I was actually reviewing their very first books, and I wrote the introduction to one of their first Sarah books, and I wrote some ads for them early on. We're talking 1980, 82, 85, somewhere in there. So very, very early on. And so I began to understand the law of attraction from their perspective even more. And, of course, we've become longtime friends, and I live about 45 minutes from them. And they helped anchor it in a much more real way. But my first introduction were from the old school, New Thought people, those authors who wrote those wonderful books like Thought Vibration that's still out there today.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, last week we had Rosemary Heenan, who is a law of attraction coach. She was on, and she was talking about your book, The Attraction Factor,
oh.
and saying how fantastic it was and what a difference it made. So could you tell us about the five steps in The Attractor Factor?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. That book has become a cornerstone to my whole career. And the updated new second edition that's out right now, it's in bookstores and at Amazon, is probably the best thing I've ever written, because I've written something like 30 books, many in the business arena and many in the self-help, but The Attractor Factor seems to say it all. And those five steps are the core to everything I teach. And those five steps help people understand the law of attraction better than they did before, and it helps them understand the secret if they had any, you know, glitches in their understanding. So the five steps, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of it.
Okay.
The first is to know what you don't want. And that's where most people are simply stuck. They're just complaining. They're just saying, this is what I don't want. This is what I got, and it's not enough, and blah, blah, blah. I think it's a very useful thing to know what you don't want, because you can use it to discover, step two, what you do want. So I tell people to make a list of all your complaints. That's what you don't want. And then turn every one of those things into an intention, which is step two. Now, we know about the power of intention. I mean, your listeners no doubt know about this. There's a couple things that go on when you state an intention. The first thing is it aligns your body and mind to go in the same direction. When you say that you want to achieve something and you intend to achieve something, you've given your whole system, your energy system, a target. You've got focus. But there's something magical that happens too, and this is miraculous and even mysterious, but when you state an intention, it seems to go into what I'll call the universe, and the universe rearranges people like you and everybody else on the planet like chess pieces to arrange for your intention to come true. I've seen this happen repeatedly, but this stating an intention seems to work on at least a couple levels, one within you and one outside in the universe. So that's the second step. The third step is to get clear. And I say getting clear is the missing secret. That's what I recorded my Nightingale program about. That's what I wrote the book The Key about. I explain it in The Attractor Factor. In short, I say, even though you have an intention, if you have counter-intentions within you, in your unconscious mind, you'll block your intention from happening. And my favorite example is, you know, on January 1st, most people will set New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to get more sales. I'm going to date more. I mean, they're all positive intents. Nobody says, I'm going to start heroin tomorrow. They all say, I'm going to do something positive. So they got a clear intent. But the next day or the next week or the next month, they're not doing it. They've forgotten it. They've let it go. Why? Well, I say we have counter intentions in our unconscious mind. Another example is when somebody says, I intend to have $5,000 in unexpected income, or I intend to become independently wealthy. Yet, if they have beliefs about money, like money's bad, or money is evil, or rich people are snobs, or rich people are greedy, or if I have too much money, I'll just ruin it, or I'll spend it, or I'll waste it, or I'll hurt myself, then you will not achieve attracting the money. Your counter-intention will either completely stop it or slow it down. So step three is get clear. I've learned that when you get clear of your counter-intentions, whatever you intend comes at almost warp speed. You start to live a life of magic and wonder because you intend something, and very quickly it's there. And if it's not there, it comes very quickly after that, or even something better than that. But all because you got clear. That's step three.
Well, how do you get clear?
Oh, I'll tell you that in a minute.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Let me go through the other two steps first.
Okay.
Step four is something I coined called Nevelize Your Goal. And Nevelize Your Goal is named after Neville Goddard, who was a mystic, who was an author, who was one of my favorite speakers and teachers. And his material's out there, too. It's on Amazon. It's on the Internet. You can look up Neville Goddard, and you'll find it. And he's in The Attractor Factor. And Neville basically said, you can have what you want if you can imagine already having it. In other words, if you can go to the end result of what you've been visualizing. instead of imagining that you're going to have money one day, what would it feel like if it's all in your hands right now? If you've been wanting to attract a car, for example, which is a big thing in my life, instead of just putting up pictures on a vision board or affirming it or intending it, you actually feel that it's in your driveway. What would it feel like to know that when you went outside, there's the car and the keys are in it and the title's in your name and you can slide behind the wheel, start it up, and take off? Neville really wanted you to go to the end result of the thing you were trying to attract, because when you can anchor the end result in your body, you send it out to the universe like this telegram that goes at warp speed right into the energy vortex of the world, and it begins to become concrete. So nevelize your goal is step four. Step five, which is very, very powerful and important, it's a two-parter, let go while taking inspired action. And what that means is you let go of your addiction, your attachment, and your need to getting what you say you want to attract. Too many people feel a sense of desperation. I want to attract money, but I got to have it by 5 o'clock.
Right.
Well, they'll actually push it away because the undercurrent is one of desperation. I found that you can have whatever you want as long as you don't really need it. You have to have a spirit of letting go, a spirit of playfulness, of detachment. So while you're saying, I would love to have my intention, but I won't die if I don't have it, the other part of step five is to take action. I'm the guy in the movie who says the universe likes speed. Well, I'm also the guy in the marketing circles who says money likes speed. If you get an intuition to do something, you must do it, because that's a nudge or a signal from the universe that you have a part to play. This is a co-creation part. You and the universe are dancing together to create your intention. So step five is let go of your attachment to what you want while taking inspired action to move in the direction of attracting what you want. That's the overview of the five steps that are in my book, The Attractor Factor.
Mm, wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the clearing. I'm not going to let you leave until you tell us, how do we clear it all?
How do we
change our beliefs?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question and the most essential thing in getting the law of attraction to work for you. And again, I've written entire books and recorded whole programs. The Key is one of my books that has 10 clearing methods in it. The Missing Secret is my audio program with Nightingale Conant that has, I think, 7 clearing methods in it. And I'm only telling you those things as references because some people will be wanting to know.
I can tell
you what a couple of the clearing methods are, and I actually even walk you through them. All right, one of them is, for me, becoming a belief detective. And what that means is you're looking for the beliefs in your mind that might be stopping you from attracting what you say you want. Now, this is not an impossible task. In fact, it's even a fun thing. I tell people to simply ask one question of themselves. If you're trying to attract something, and that could be anything, I mean, people listening right now could imagine one thing they're trying to attract, and they can be saying to themselves, okay, I've been trying to attract this perfect job or more clients or more money or a relationship, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If they're not achieving it, what does it mean that they haven't achieved it yet? What does it mean that they've not attracted the thing they've intended at this moment? Now, I pause for dramatic emphasis because the answer to that question, what does it mean that you have not attracted what you want, is a belief. And what you want to do is take note of that belief. You want to write it down. And that belief could be anything. It could be something like, I knew this stuff wouldn't work. Or, I don't believe it's going to work for me. Or, I don't deserve to have more money. Or, there'll be something unique to you that comes up. Take note of it. Write it down. It's very good to write it down because you can separate it from the inside of you. You're now looking at it, and you can analyze it. It's now separate from you. So you write down the belief that surfaced after you asked the question, what does it mean that I've not attracted whatever it is that you said you wanted so far? Now what you do is question it. You say, do I believe whatever the statement was? Do I believe that I don't deserve to attract a partner? Do I believe that I don't deserve to attract more money? Do I believe that I don't deserve to attract the business deal that I've been waiting for or intending? And you answer it. You may say, yeah, I do believe that. Or you may say, no, I don't believe it. If you say, no, I don't believe it, it's probably not an active belief and it'll go with the wind. But if you say, yes, I do believe this. I do believe that I don't deserve to attract this in my life. I do believe that this is not going to work for me for some crazy reason. That's fine. You write that down and you question it. You're basically questioning, why do I believe that? That question, why do I believe that, will surface your own evidence for your belief. What you're doing with this belief questioning process is unearthing your software in your mind. You're taking apart your mental programming so you can rewire yourself to receive the things you say you want to attract. That's one way to do it.
Wonderful.
Another way, yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Another way to do it, and this is far easier, simpler, quicker, but more mystical. I wrote a book called Zero Limits, and before we started the show, you had mentioned that you knew of that book.
Yes, Zero, very much.
Yeah, Zero Limits has really turned heads. You think The Secret turned heads. Zero Limits turns heads inside out. Zero Limits is the true story of a therapist who worked at a mental hospital for the criminally insane in Hawaii,
uh-huh.
And he helped heal every one of those patients without seeing them and with using a unusual Hawaiian healing method. The same Hawaiian healing method is something you can use, and I can tell you what it is and teach you what it is in a couple of minutes. Basically, it's based on total responsibility, first and foremost, that if there is any sort of problem in your life, you have to note that you are there, you are experiencing it, you're not just participating in it, but you actually fully 100% attracted it. You may not have done it on any conscious level. You may have unconsciously created whatever the drama is. So much of our lives are unconsciously driven that it's not a far stretch to think that whatever showed up in your life, unconsciously you had a hand, if not the entire hand, in pulling it into your experience. So the first step in this Hawaiian healing process is to understand you are totally responsible. No exception. There is no peephole, no weak link, no escape clause, nothing to let you worm out. You are totally responsible for whatever is going on in your life. The second thing to realize is that you can't by yourself remove it. What you have to do is enlist the help of a higher power. In the Hawaiian method that I describe in Zero Limits, he always called it the divine. The therapist always would say that he would turn to the divine. That can be God, that can be the universe, that can be Gaia, that can be nature. You can call that 1,001 different names. But I think we all know or suspect that we're part of something bigger, that we're not God, but we are a God, that we are part of this divinity, but we are not the divine itself. And so he would turn over his problem to the divine. And then the third thing is he would say this mantra. And the mantra is basically four lines. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. This therapist, when he was working at the hospital for the mentally insane in Hawaii, he wouldn't see patients. He would look at their records. And as he looked at their records, he would be feeling nausea or frustration or anger or rage or embarrassment, any number of emotions, because they were violent criminals, mentally ill people in a mental institution for the criminally insane. So their records were appalling. He would look at their records and note what he was feeling. He'd take complete responsibility. He didn't blame the patients. He didn't blame the victims. He took complete responsibility for what he was feeling. He turned his attention to the divine in a prayerful way, And he would say those lines, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you." What he's doing is saying, "I'm sorry for whatever part of me helped create this patient and this experience. Please forgive me because I have been unconscious and I have been unaware. And thank you for taking care of this, for releasing this, for removing this, for healing this." And ending with, "I love you." I love you being a statement to reconnect with the divinity. Because if there's anything that the divine might best be described as, it's love. Going through this process of responsibility and cleansing with the divine's help helped him heal all those patients. Well, when you and I are trying to get clear, and we know that there's some sort of block within us, but we can't pinpoint it because these blocks and these beliefs are in our unconscious mind, and we can find them. You can go looking for them, and you can find them, but you don't necessarily have to. All you have to do is be aware that there's a snag, that you're using the law of attraction to the best of your conscious ability, and if you're not attracting what you want, then unconsciously there's a block that's interfering with it, that you're attracting what you don't want. You're attracting what the unconscious is wanting. And so with that awareness, you turn to divinity and say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm sorry for whatever is in me, whatever beliefs are in me, whatever programming is in me, whatever is active within me that's causing this to work in reverse. Please forgive me for being unaware of my beliefs. Please forgive me for being irresponsible for everything that's been happening in my life. Thank you for cleaning this, for taking care of this, for removing this." And then, of course, ending with, "I love you. I love you, I love you," going back to source, reconnecting with source. You can say those phrases in any order that feel comfortable. You can say them as many times as you want. I actually have found that it's my new self-talk. We all have self-talk. People listening right now have things going on in their head. They're questioning what I just said. They're talking to themselves. They've got voices in their head. We all do. We grow up with those voices, but most of us don't know we can detach from them. Well, not only can you detach from them, but you can completely replace them. And my new self-talk, like the new tape playing in my head, is, "I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you." As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to your listeners, I'm saying that silently in the background of my mind because I'm doing it to clean and clear anything in me from being sure I come from my heart and reach your heart.
Wow.
That's another way to clear.
Wow. Now that, I got to tell you, this show is going to be listened to over and over and over again. I can tell you right now, that is just so well put. And I can see, I mean, people think of you as this spiritual being. And so it's what you're giving out through the law of attraction, you are definitely getting back as well.
Well, you know, when I first met the therapist, and he co-authored the book Zero Limits, so we've become buddies. When
and
I
that's
first,
you, Lynn? Lynn Hugh?
That's Dr. Hu Lin. His
Hu
full
Lin.
Name is E. Haleakala Hu Lin.
Okay.
Just call him Hu Lin.
Okay.
Or even just call him Lin. He'll answer to any of those. But when I first met him, all he said he was doing was cleaning and clearing himself. And so when you kind of acknowledge me and thank me and applaud me, I really want to point out that all I'm doing is working on me. If, as I'm working on me, it ends up helping other people and influences other people, then that is a blessed godsend that wasn't expected. But all I'm really doing is what he was doing. We're working on ourselves because, again, life is a process of awakening. And so I'm just cleaning whatever the debris is, whatever the interference is, whatever the limitations are, whatever the blocks are, so that I can let spirit live through Joe.
And this is precisely, if we could get into the "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you," if every law of attraction follower did this, we could really see peace on earth in a very short time, don't you
think?
Well,
that's a good point because there's something called the Maharishi effect, where only a tiny percentage of a population has to hold the same intention for all of that population to transform. There's 19 scientific studies. In fact, I think I quote them in the back of the Attractor Factor. 19 scientific studies that prove that when small groups of people get together and meditate, they just quiet themselves, they just kind of get into that connection to source, that the community they're in, their crime rate goes down and the prosperity goes up. By example, by parallel, you have a giant listening audience right now. If all of these people, even right now or during the rest of this interview, said to themselves, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, or even make it even more simpler and just say, I love you, in their heads. Can you imagine what is going to be different as people are thinking, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, mentally as a new mantra inside themselves? They're going to send out a new energy. And if all the people on the call do that right now, we're going to influence people who are not on the call. That new tune, that new vibe is going to go out and mellow people all around us. They're going to be more loving. They will have no clue why they suddenly feel more relaxed and more loving and maybe more prosperous, but it will be as a direct result of a small but focused group. And that can be this group right now by just focusing on, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you, or just, I love you.
Okay, everybody, think. It's really quite easy. It's really quite easy. And when we think it, then we can feel it as well. That's
a good thought there. That's a good reminder, is that you don't have to feel love to begin this process. That actually by saying I love you and I love you a few times, it may be just rote and you're just feeling like you're mumbling the words inside your own head. But doing it after a while, it's like an affirmation that comes to life. Suddenly you start to feel more loving. Suddenly your heart opens. Suddenly you feel more relaxed. Suddenly there's a little smile that comes on your face. Suddenly your eyes are a little brighter. Suddenly your whole face kind of relaxes and the lines go out. And suddenly other people notice, and they'll wonder, what are you thinking or what are you doing? But I remember asking Dr. Hu Len, when you say those phrases, do you have to feel them? And he said, no.
Really?
And I understood later that because when you first start saying them, you don't feel them, doesn't mean that after you say them for a while, you won't begin to feel them. So you start right where you're at. You just start with what you got. And you start saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Or I just say, I love you. And that alone transforms your voice, your vibe, your energy. And it goes out in this invisible thing, this invisible energy to touch others.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Now, maybe you could give the listeners a little bit of advice. We've got the media out there.
Yeah.
Just every day. We're getting a lot of negativity, you know, like with the future and everything. What do you recommend to counteract it?
Yeah, easy. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Yeah, just.
I got to tell you, the media, listen, I was trained as a journalist to begin with.
Really?
And I've been involved because of, you know, I've been in the public off and on way before The Secret. Now, because of The Secret, I'm in the media's eye quite a bit. The media is trained to find the negative wherever they can find it. And if they can't find it, they're going to twist whatever they find to turn it into something negative. That is how the media works. But what happens to the people who are still in stage one and they're in victimhood? They listen to the media. They go into fear. They then act from that fear, creating panic and disaster, which the media then finds, broadcast, and then the victims again see it's real and start to fall into panic again, and it becomes a downward spiral right into the toilet. And the only way to stop it, until you become awakened enough to be immune to it, is to turn it off. There is plenty of media out there that is much more positive, that is much more nurturing. We don't have to listen to the doom and gloom. And in fact, if you look around, you can find books and resources and media that says things are actually getting better. and that more millionaires are made during these troubled times, according to the media, troubled times, than at any other time in history, and that when you look around, you can see opportunities instead of seeing problems. There is such a mind shift that can happen if you just turn off the bad news.
Okay, so we turn it all off, and we go on to the Internet. We find the sites that we want to learn about.
Well, yours is one of them. What is this? What is this? This is positive. This is reporting on the change that is happening. Just tonight alone, I'm telling people about stories that may never have heard of, like Dr. Hulan and the whole mental hospital that was transformed because of I Love You. And I've given the 5 steps that have actually changed people's lives, people who had no jobs or no relationships or had health problems. They're all resolved in some of the most miraculous ways because of those 5 steps and the attractor factor. It's this kind of media, this kind of radio show that people need to be listening to. Turn off the 5 o'clock doom and gloom stuff and turn on your show. That's
the difference. Remember, everybody, turn on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
That's right.
Thank
and you got all your back shows. I mean, download all of that to the iPod and take the morning walks or jog or whatever it happens to be and listen to this kind of information.
Yes, and you will grow, definitely.
Well, let me tell you a secret to success.
Okay.
When I was struggling, I mentioned I would go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Houston and I did have a job and I would drive 30-some miles each way in the morning to go there and in the evening at night to come back, I listened to positive improvement audio tapes. Now we have CDs, of course. But I was feeding my brain the new information, the positive information. In a way, I was brainwashing myself to expect success. I was trying to take out all of that old programming, the victim programming, and I was trying to keep the media from entering my ears and my eyes. And so even then, I was studying, I was learning, I was absorbing, and I still do it today. I will have a third program with Nightingale Conant coming out in February. I have 2 with them now. Even 20-some years ago, 25 years ago, I was buying and listening to their products. I still buy and listen to their products. This isn't a plug for Nightingale Conant. This is a plug for the idea that if you want to get ahead and make the law of attraction work and be immune to the media and so forth, then you want to feed your mind. You want to read the positive books. You want to listen to the positive material. You want to watch whatever you can find that's positive. That's a major secret to success.
Good point. Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, listen, you know, I read one of your books that you haven't mentioned, but I found it absolutely fantastic. There's a Customer Born Every Minute.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
That is so terrific. And you're talking about P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
And all of his marketing strategy.
Yeah.
And it is magnificent.
Oh,
and
you
could really see, I mean, what I like about your writing style is that you give all these reference points as well, all of these really terrific people that I want to learn more about. So you are a wealth of knowledge as well. But there's one thing that you said, you wrote about with in the book. It's about his daily strength. And you quote here, "Knowing that you can live with the attitude of optimism will help you in your day-to-day business challenges. Knowing that this too will pass can give you inner strength needed to handle whatever life brings your way." And you go on to state about his own little small dollar book and everything that he read on a daily inspiration. So my question to you, Joe, what is it that you do to keep you inspired every day?
Oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. What a great question. Well, first of all, I got to thank you because the Barnum book is one of my beloved books.
I'm
used to talking about it in my business and marketing radio shows, not on Law of Attraction shows. But P.T. Barnum was a Law of Attraction expert. He may not have known the phrase specifically, and then again, he might have. But this was a man who never said there's a sucker born every minute. That's something that was a misquote and misattribution. He was actually called Reverend Barnum because he was so spiritual. He was very optimistic. He was a real go-getter. He was one of our first millionaires. He did so many different firsts. He was a mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut twice. He loved the city tremendously. He was an author, a speaker, a politician, a best-selling author, an entrepreneur. Lived 80-some years, and most people think he was only a circus promoter. He didn't do that until he was a senior citizen. He did so many things before it. And, yes, he had this optimism. He even had his little book that he would read every day to just kind of inspire him. And so what do I do is your question. I'll tell you what I do. Almost every night, and I travel a fair bit, but almost every night when I'm home, I get in the hot tub, and that's an outdoor one under the Texas sky, and I look at that sky, and I look at each star, and I'm saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And I move into a spirit of gratitude that very often leaves me misty-eyed, if not actually crying. Because I will be in my hot tub on my estate, and I will be feeling the luxury and the magic and the miracle of where I am, and I can easily reflect back to 30 years ago when I did not have a roof or a car or a job or money or food in my belly or a relationship. I was totally alone. And to think that I somehow got here is to say thank you to a universe that is taking care of me and you and all the rest of us. So I get into a daily spirit of meditation, if you will, of gratitude that anchors and celebrates and completes each day.
Wow. That is beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, every evening I'm going to think of you in your hot tub looking at the stars, and that's going to inspire me.
Well, it can be a hot tub, it can be a bathtub, it can be any, you know, whatever it takes. I really think that another secret to attracting whatever you want is to be grateful for what you have in this moment. And I know too many people, myself included, because when I first heard about gratitude as a powerful tool for change, I thought, yeah, I'll be grateful when I have a job. I'll be grateful when I have money. I'll be grateful when I have a house. I'll be grateful when, you know, fill in the blank. But it doesn't work like that. You have to be grateful now for something genuinely in your experience that you love and welcome and are grateful for. And when you do feel that gratitude, you change your vibration in this moment. And then the next moments will attract more things to be grateful for. It'll get bigger. It'll enlarge. There'll be better and bigger things coming your way. But it starts by being grateful now. When you're grateful now, you change the vibe. That's really what's engaging the law of attraction. And you get more things coming in. And when I say things, I mean experiences. I mean the toys and the money and the relationship, all of it comes in because you are grateful for what you have now. That's a big tip on how to leverage the law of the secret or the law of attraction.
So no matter how down and out you are, you could be homeless on the street, you can still feel grateful for something, and that will shift you up into a better place where you could start creating.
Absolutely. And I got to point out, you know, since I've been looking at the homeless thing and I'm starting Operation Yes, I've seen homeless people who are absolutely happy. They are absolutely happy. And because they're happy, people want to help them, and they end up changing themselves rather quickly. It's the people who don't appreciate what they have or where they're at that end up being stuck. And that's another major insight. Because if you're focused on what you don't like or what you're unhappy about or what the problem is, you're focused on what you don't want, which, you know, in step one of the attractor factor, you're just going to stay there. But if you can turn it around and start to be grateful for something that's in this moment while selecting what you would like to have in the next moment, you start to go in a better direction. But anybody can look around and say, I'm grateful for my shoes or my pet or the fact that I've got a can of soup or that I can breathe. I mean, good Lord, compared to other countries where people are dying right now because they have nothing to eat, or even compared to past centuries where we lived in fear of our lives every minute, we are living the life of Riley.
Oh, yeah.
We certainly may want more, and I think that's totally fine, but you will achieve it and attract it when you are grateful for this moment and something in it. And it could be this radio show. It could be just being grateful that you're doing this and I'm doing this. you know, we're doing it out of love, and we're spreading this love. And the people listening, if they just pause and go, well, that is a great gift, and start to feel grateful for that great gift, they change themselves, and then the next moments coming in will be even better.
Oh, so well put. That's wonderful. You've got some workshops and seminars coming up, don't you?
Well, I do, yeah. I have so many things coming up, and so I stay relatively busy. I mean, I have another book out this week. It's called Expect Miracles.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, Expect Miracles. It's been on the Amazon bestseller list. It might have dropped off today, but it's been there for 3-4 days or more. So Expect Miracles is going on. I have a seminar in January in Austin called Attract Wealth, and that's going to be a great one because it's all about the law of attraction for finances, for wealth, for money. And I have major people like Joe Sugarman, the king behind Blue Blocker Sunglasses, Wendy Friesen, who's a remarkable, charming hypnotist, Mark Ryan, who's a expert at hypnosis. We'll talk about the trance of limitation. Will Bowen is the guy who started the movement to end complaining in the world. I will be speaking there as well. There's a few other speakers. I can't think of all of them. Mindy Odlin will be talking about the What If Up Club. Attract Wealth is going to be in Austin. I think it's the second weekend of January, and I believe the website's attractwealthseminar.com. So that's going on, and I've got other things coming up. If people just go to my website, mrfire.com, they can get on my newsletter and then get notices about when I have things happening. So that's www.mrfire.com, mrfire.com.
And if you forget that, you can also go to JoeVitale.com. Also.
That's right. That's
I
right.
I discovered that today. So you can if you forget it, you can just go, and no matter what, you'll be able to get the information, which is fantastic. Well, this has been absolutely delightful. Everybody on the chat room is like, "Whoa, this is great information!" They're thrilled. So thank you, Joe. You are just wonderful. And I'm going to urge and encourage all the listeners, if you can, go to his seminars, and especially the ones coming up in January. Sounds fantastic.
Well, I want to thank you because you are doing something wonderful in the world, because the media is out there taking away power, and you're here giving it. So you're doing something wonderful, and I want to thank everybody listening and say Godspeed to all of you, and I love you.
And I love you, too. Well, that is it for our show tonight. So for everyone, and Joe, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Thank you.
Okay, and we will talk to you all next week. Good night.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.